everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today's actually Tuesday. I missed yesterday, I apologize. So today we're going to double up, and we are going to do episode 118.1 and .2 today. And that means that we are doing 1 Kings chapter 18 and 19. So welcome, and thank you for being here, as always. It's a long reading today, so I will not delay. I will try to get right into it by opening up in prayer first and then giving you your Bible verse. So I'm going to open up in prayer, and we're going to get right into it. Heavenly Father, holy and mighty God, we come to you on our knees. We are so thankful and so grateful, and we want to give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise, Lord. We love you. We love you so much. And we are grateful and thankful for all that you do and provide for us, Lord. We don't even know what we need, but you do. Before it even pops into our heads, you already know. And Lord, we ask all things according to what your will is, always. We want to be in your will, we want to be obedient to you, and we want to do exactly what it is that you want us to do. Lord, we are especially grateful for the gift of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the sacrifice on the cross, for the suffering that he had to go through, his death, but then his resurrection, Lord. That is the icing on the cake. He defeated death, and Lord, we're thankful for that because he defeated death for us. So, Lord, thank you for the gift of salvation and the promise of eternal life with you. Lord, I lift up those who are out there who are listening. I lift up those who are still searching for us and that they find this particular podcast. Lord, I ask you to open their hearts and their minds to what it is that you want us to understand from today's reading and from all of the reading. Today we're reading about Elijah, which I love listening to the history of the Israelites, and Lord, it just helps us to get to know you better and better. So Lord, open up our hearts and our minds, empty us of ourselves, clear our heads, and help us to understand what it is that you want us to understand today. I don't know what the needs are of those that are out there listening, but you do. So I pray over each and every one of them, Lord. Have your will and answer prayers, Lord, whatever those may look like for you. Lord, I am lifting up this time in your word. We invite you into it. We ask you to bless it and anoint it and reveal yourself to us. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today's reading, I'm still in the Old Testament giving you these Bible verses. So, but I'm out of Isaiah for today. So today comes from Exodus. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." You know, when I read that, I felt like God is telling us that he's here with us always. And the God of the Israelites way back then, through the Exodus, through the Genesis, through all of those chapters of the history of the Israelites, he has been with them, and he's with us, and he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's what I got out of this. So God is with us. And, you know, there is a song out there that you can find. God with Us, I think, is the name of it. And I find it to be comforting that he is with us. So, all right. Well, that's your verse of the day. It'll be posted today. And I feel, too, like I just wanted to quick. I'm going to ask for prayer. I'm asking for prayer for this website, for this podcast. I don't know what God has in store. I don't know. I just feel led to continue doing it. Although there's some days where I feel discouraged. You know, I look at the numbers and I see, you know, it's very limited. But you know what? the few people that are listening, I am blessed by, because that means that somebody wants to hear what God has to say. I know I'm not famous. I'm not looking to be famous. What I want to do is make, you know, people get to know God. I want them to understand who He is. And if this is the way I'm supposed to be doing it, I'm going to continue doing it. Even if it's just for, you know, whatever, even if it's just one person out there, I pray that there will be more. I pray that that this will grow and get bigger and catch on fire, because I think that God needs to hear. I mean, I think people need to hear about God and learn who He is and what He's done. So I'm asking for prayer for Leap of Faith podcast, for me, for Jeremiah, for windows to open, for him to be able to be a little more available to help out with this. I know that he's got a lot on his plate right now, so I try not to bother him, and I hope that, you know, I pray for him, you know, with things falling into place for him. But I truly believe in this, you know, reading the Bible every day. I just want other people to get into it too. So I'm asking for your prayers out there. All right. Well, we're going to dive right in, because we've got two big chapters to go through, but it's good stuff. I already pre-read it, so because I wanted to see what was going on. All right, so we're going to continue reading about Elijah. So this is chapter 18, and this is episode 118.1, and then we'll go on to point two. The contest on Mount Carmel. Later on in the third year of the drought, the Lord said to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to King Ahab. Tell him that I will soon send rain." So Elijah went to appear before Ahab. Meanwhile, the famine had become very severe in Samaria. So Ahab summoned Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace. Obadiah was a devoted follower of the Lord. Once when Jezebel had tried to kill all the Lord's prophets, Obadiah had hidden 100 of them in two caves. He put 50 prophets in each cave and supplied them with food and water. Ahab said to Obadiah, "We must check every spring and valley in the land to see if we can find enough grass to save at least some of my horses and mules." So they divided the land between them. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. As Obadiah was walking along, he suddenly saw Elijah coming toward him. Obadiah recognized him at once and bowed low to the ground before him. "Is it really you, my lord Elijah?" he asked. "Yes, it is," Elijah replied. "Now go and tell your master Elijah is here." "Oh, sir," Obadiah protested, what harm have I done to you that you are sending me to my death at the hands of Ahab? For I swear by the Lord your God that the king has searched every nation and kingdom on earth from end to end to find you. And each time he was told, Elijah isn't here. King Ahab forced the king of that nation to swear to the truth of his claim. And now you say, go and tell your master Elijah is here. But as soon as I leave you, the Spirit of the Lord will carry you away to who knows where. When Ahab comes and cannot find you, he will kill me. Yet I have been a true servant of the Lord all my life. Has no one told you, my Lord, about the time when Jezebel was trying to kill the Lord's prophets? I hid 100 of them in two caves and supplied them with food and water. And now you say, go and tell your master, Elijah's here. So, sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me. But Elijah said, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this very day. So Obadiah went to tell Ahab that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. When Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, So, is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? I have made no trouble of Israel, Elijah replied. You and your family are the troublemakers. For you have refused to obey the commands of the Lord and have worshipped the images of Baal instead. Now summon all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who are supported by Jezebel. So Ahab summoned all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. Then Elijah stood in front of them and said, "How much longer will you waver, hobbling between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him." But the people were completely silent. Then Elijah said to them, "I am the only prophet of the Lord who is left, but Baal has 450 prophets. Now bring two bulls. The prophets of Baal may choose whichever one they wish and cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood of their altar, but without setting fire to it. I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood on the altar, but not set fire to it. Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord. The God who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." And all the people agreed. Then Elijah said to the prophet of Baal, "You go first, for there are many of you. Choose one of the bulls and prepare it and call on the name of your God, but do not set fire to the wood." So they prepared one of the bulls and placed it on the altar. Then they called on the name of Baal from morning until noontime, shouting, "O Baal, answer us!" But there was no reply of any kind. Then they danced, hobbling around the altar they had made. About noontime, Elijah began mocking them. "You'll have to shout louder," he scoffed, "for surely he is a god. Perhaps he is daydreaming or is relieving himself, or maybe he is away on a trip or is asleep and needs to be awakened." So they shouted louder, and following their normal custom, they cut themselves with knives and swords until the blood gushed out. They raved all afternoon until the time of the evening sacrifice, but still there was no sound, no reply, no response. Then Elijah called to the people, "Come over here." They all crowded around him as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons. He piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood." After they had done this, he said, "Do the same thing again." And when they were finished, he said, "Now do it a third time." So they did as he said, and the water ran around the altar and even filled the trench. At the usual time for offering the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prayed, "O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back to yourself." Immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down from heaven and burned up the young bull, the wood, the stones, and the dust. It even licked up all the water in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell down, face down on the ground and cried out, "The Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God." Then Elijah commanded, "Seize all the prophets of Baal. Don't let a single one escape." So the people seized them all, and Elijah took them down to the Kishon Valley and killed them all. Elijah prays for rain. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. Then he said to his servant, "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." 7 times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the 7th time, his servant told him, "I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. Elijah flees to Sinai. This is episode 118.2, chapter 19. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the God strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. The Lord speaks to Elijah. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Then the Lord told him, "Go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Mehola, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him." The call of Elisha. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, but Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah, and said to him, "First let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you." Elijah replied, "Go back. But think about what I have done to you." So Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Okay, so that was a lot. I will try to dig through this, not quickly, but, you know, try to go over it. So going back into 18, there's still a drought going on, and Elijah goes to appear before Ahab. Of course, we hear about Obadiah, who was in charge of the palace, but he was also devoted to the Lord. He did that little thing, you know, trying to save the 100 prophets by hiding them in the caves. And then he's walking along, and this is down in 7, and he sees Elijah, and Elijah tells him to go tell Ahab that Elijah is here. And, you know, poor Obadiah, he's like, okay, I don't, you know, don't, he doesn't want to be the, what is it, don't kill the message bearer, you know, you don't want to, you know, you don't want to do that. So, you know, he goes through this whole story, and then down here in 14, he says, and now you say, go and tell your master Elijah's here. Sir, if I do that, Ahab will certainly kill me. So Elijah says, I swear by the Lord Almighty, in whose presence I stand, that I will present myself to Ahab this day. So Obadiah goes to Ahab, tells him Elijah's there, and he meets Ahab. Ahab calls him a troublemaker. He thinks that Elijah's bringing the trouble on because he's trying to get the people to be obedient. And it's not. The people are being not obedient. They're following Jezebel and, you know, worshiping idols, Asherah and Baal. So he tells them, now summon all of Israel to meet him at Mount Carmel. And so he says, okay, you guys who are worshiping these false idols, you get your sacrifice ready, but don't light the fire. And so you go first, you can pick the bull. And so they do, and they're praying, and they're praying, and they're praying, and cutting themselves and gushing out blood. And, you know, Elijah's laughing at them. He's like, about noontime, Elijah began mocking them. This is in 27. You all have to shout louder, he scoffs. Surely he is a god. Perhaps he's daydreaming or relieving himself. Maybe he's on a trip or he's asleep. Maybe he needs to be awakened. He's, you know, he's making them look like idiots. And so they shout louder and they cut themselves and there's no response. So then Elijah calls to the people. He's like, come on over here. Come see what our God's going to do. So they all crowd around him, and he takes 12 stones to represent the 12 tribes. He digs a trench that's going to hold 3 gallons. So just imagine, we're talking 3 gallons like of milk, let's just say. So that's not a lot. And he piles the wood on the altar, cut the bull, and lays the pieces on the wood. Then he says, now fill 4 large jars with water and pour it over the offering. So they did this, and then he says, now do it again. And they do it 3 times, and it fills the trench all over the wood. You know, everything's wet. And then after they did this, at the usual time for offering, this is in 36, the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet walked up to the altar and prays, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, prove today that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant. Prove that I have done all this at your command. O Lord, answer me. Answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have brought them back. Immediately, the fire of the Lord flashes down from heaven and burns up the young bull, the wood, the stones, the dust, even dries up the water that was in the trench. And the people fall down on their faces and they say, the Lord, he is God. Yes, the Lord is God. So it took this again. It's always something. There's always like a big miracle has to happen in order for us to see, you know, God's presence. And it's so sad that, you know, they just can't believe on their own. So then he takes all the prophets of Baal and he kills them. And then Elijah prays for rain, And this I thought was interesting. I don't know what this whole little section was about, but so as soon as the sky was black with clouds, a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. Then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah, and he tucks his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. I don't know what that means. I don't know how he got ahead of him. I don't know how that, I don't get, and this is kind of like a little mystery to me. Then in chapter 19, when Ahab got home, he tells Jezebel of everything that happened at the altar, and she sends a message back to Elijah. May the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you just as you killed them. Elijah's afraid and he flees for his life. He sat down under a solitary broom tree, prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who've already died. So he lays down, and as he's sleeping, an angel touches him and says, get up and eat. And there miraculously is food for him to eat. Then the angel of the Lord comes and says to him again, get up and eat. You got a big journey ahead of you. So he gets up and eats. And for 40 days and 40 nights, he travels and gets to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. And then God talks to him. He says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And Elijah says, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. So he says, go out and stand before me on the mountain. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passes by. And makes himself, you know, obviously known, you know, through the wind, through the earthquake. When Elijah heard it, he hears a gentle, after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wraps his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Because he's not, you know, you can't look on the face of God. And the voice says, again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he says the same thing to him. And he's like, they're trying to kill me. Then the Lord says to him, go back the same way you came through the wilderness of Damascus. I put a circle around that because that's a place that we've heard about before. And when you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram, Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, this is the first time we've heard Elisha's name, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Mahola, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. So there's 7,000 who are still loyal to the Lord. That's what I'm getting from this. Then you have the call of Elisha. And I thought there must be something to this, like some sort of maybe Jewish tradition that I don't know about. So Elijah finds Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There's 12 teams of oxen, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Is that, again, you know, a symbol of the 12 tribes? I don't know. Maybe. And then Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. So that, to me, like, there must be some Jewish tradition that, you know, of anointing. I don't know if that's what that means. So then Elisha leaves the oxen standing there, runs after Elijah and says, let me go say goodbye to my parents first. And Elijah's like, all right, go back, but really think about what I just did. Okay, really think about this. So Elisha realizes there's something bigger going on here, returns to his oxen, slaughters it. He uses the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. So he had to give a sacrifice, I guess, maybe, before he left, you know, to give honor. I don't know. I'm sure that this was something to do with tradition. So, all right, well, that's it I'm sorry, I've hit on 30 minutes here, but that means I've done two chapters in 30 minutes, which is 15 minutes each. Okay, so anyway, so that's that for that part of it. As I always do every day, we never leave without giving anybody out there the opportunity to receive Christ as their Lord and King. If you are in this Bible study, then there must be a reason why you found us. It's not an accident. I say that a lot. You know, I'm not anything special, but God is. And if he can bring you to this website, then there's a reason. So there is a prayer of salvation that you, in order to be saved, you have to receive Christ into your heart, believe, and say it out loud that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. So I will lead you in the prayer. It's not about me. It's about you and your relationship with God. So I hope you say that prayer today. I don't know what you're waiting for. You know, Jesus isn't coming. What is it I said? Jesus isn't coming back because he's waiting for you. Well, he's waiting for everybody to get on board. So, and I pray that for several people. So, and I'm praying it for you. Heavenly Father, today I trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, and the blood that he shed on the cross. Lord, thank you. I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations. Welcome into this wonderful family of Jesus Christ. You are now a brother or sister in Christ, and it's a new day. It's a new birthday. So I always start with this. Not always, but many days. I try to remind everybody, this is the Bible we're using. It's the New Living Translation. You can get that anywhere you purchase books from. Marketing your Bible. Today is your day. And dog ear it, you know. Put something to mark that today is your day. Put it on your phone. Put it on your wall calendar. However you do it. But celebrate. Tell the person who has been praying for you. Maybe there's several people who have been praying for you. But tell them and go out for dinner and celebrate. But we also suggest that you get to a church, a pastor, answer questions that you may have about your new life in Christ. We also say get involved with your church. There's mission work. There's ministry, volunteer work, Bible studies. I mean, there's a plethora of things you can be doing. And God gives us gifts and talents to use. So, you know, pray about it and use whatever gifts and talents that God gave you. I mean, you know, you can be anything. You know, maybe you're an accountant. Maybe you are a musician, an artist. Maybe you're a plumber. I don't know what that could be. But, you know, I don't know what it looks like for anybody else. I just know what it looks like for me, and this is what it is for me. This is what I'm doing. So that's it for today. Oh, and if you did, I'm sorry, I'm going to tag on here. If you did get saved today, we would love to hear from you. You can always communicate with us, Lorraine at leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah at leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. If you need prayers, we'll pray for you. You know, we won't mention anybody by name because, you know, if you don't want us to, but we'll pray for you. So I think that's it for today. I hope I didn't miss anything. So I'm going to say thank you again for joining me. I don't know what time of day it is, morning, noon, night. I have no idea, but I'm glad you're here for this moment, and I will see you tomorrow. So God bless you and have a great day.